great singing. Thanks for the Lighthouse song. That was great. Thankful for the sunshine. Thankful for God's just his blessing and answers to prayer. Looking forward to lunch. We've got some good food. We've been blessed. Let me straighten this microphone out just a second. It's bothering me. Okay. I'm sorry. Wayne was using it. No, this past weekend was the Independence Hunt, where hunters with disabilities have a special opportunity to hunt deer here in northern Michigan, and some of our members were involved in that with both hunting and with helping. And we hosted a lunch here on Friday for the hunters and the hunt club in Wolverine. And then yesterday we hosted another lunch for them as well. I know they got three deer. Any more than that? Four? Okay. So four deer, venison in the freezer for those hunters, which is what the real hope is. But our folks, you provided a great meal yesterday. Wayne shared the gospel with the hunters. Got to talk with different ones about the Lord or just their lives and things that's going on. That was great. Pastor Matt surprised us and came up, and so he was here, and it's just a great day. It's been a great weekend. It's a great time to be a church together. As we look at Romans 14 and 15, I want to try to compress a lot of this down from the end of chapter 14 through the first seven verses of 15. So I want you to buckle up. We're still talking about where the church in Rome had Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians, and they certainly came from different backgrounds. And they had different strengths and weaknesses. And in our context of chapter 14, he starts out with this, verse 1, "As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions." Then look at chapter 15, verse 7, because that's the end, that's the bookend of this section. "Therefore," 15:7, "therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you." Or maybe you have "received one another as Christ has received you." It means the same. Welcome, receive, gladly receive one another. Why? The little phrase at the end of verse 7 is what this passage, this section is about, and what our church needs to be about today. "We welcome one another as Christ has welcomed us for the glory of God." I mean, if we could put that over everything we do, that it is for the glory of God, then we're on the right track. So as we make decisions as individuals, as a church leadership, as a church body, as we make decisions about whatever the issue or the question at hand is, we have to put over it "for the glory of God." It cannot be for any other reason. It cannot be, well, this is what I like, or this will reach more people, or this is just the way it is. It's, wait, is this for the glory of God? I think we need to run everything through that phrase. It comes down to the choices you make about where you're going to work and where you're going to go to school, who you're going to hang out with and who you're going to date and marry, and everything for the glory of God. That's got to be our guiding thought. And it's the reason Paul has this whole discussion. He wants this church in Rome to be united in the gospel for the glory of God. And what he ultimately is going to tell them in the next chapter or two is he's saying, "Guys, I'm coming to you. I'm going to need your support to get me to Spain because I'm taking the gospel all the way to Spain." That's his heart's desire. But he fears he can't do that if he shows up and the church is factioned and divided. What are they divided over? Well, they're divided over things like eating meats And apparently they were the kind of meat that was forbidden in the Old Testament. Guess what? There's one I have left out for you. If you were an Old Testament Hebrew, you could not eat shrimp. Yeah. And I love those shrimp fajitas at La Señorita. You couldn't eat them because shrimp are off the menu. But that was Old Testament. That's under the law. Now we're under grace. We're in Christ. The law is fulfilled. The law is completed. So the problem was these Christians who had been grown up Jewish still felt like, my parents said I couldn't eat shrimp, and so I just don't eat. I don't eat shrimp. And there were the Gentiles that never heard that before. And they said, there's nothing wrong with shrimp. Have some. They're really good. You should try it. Especially with that fajita seasoning on there and some guacamole and sour cream. There were others who observed special days, saw some days as more sacred than others. Probably, of course, the Sabbath. And also the days that the Jews were commanded by God to observe, the feasts of Passover, the feasts of Tabernacles, the Day of Atonement. They were given these days they were to honor. But again, that's under the Old Testament. That's under the law. And so the Gentile Christians, it sounds like they were saying, Saturday's great, Sunday's great, every day is for the Lord. We want to honor God every day for the glory of God. And Paul is going to say to them, he's going to talk to the strong in faith and say, you are absolutely right. You can eat the shrimp. You can haul firewood on Sunday or Saturday. You can do that. But your brother doesn't feel in his heart that he can do that. So what are you going to do? So here we are in this text, this context. I put a little title on it. If you want to write this down, you don't have to, but you can. I have this. For united praise. I think that's what he's going for. I think that's what he's after. For united praise to God. Let's pray together. Lord, we lift up this time to you. I pray that it will be honoring to you. I pray that this text, these verses will just speak to our hearts. Lord, we are a church that is so blessed with joy and unity, and we know that we are founded on your word and on your grace. Lord, where we may have differences, to me, they are for the most part minor, and you've protected us from great controversy. Father, how I pray that would continue. And I pray that what would grow out of our church and out of the understanding of this passage is that we would have more love for each other. We would have less care for our own preferences and more love for others, and that together we would see ultimately that we would praise you. We would be united in praise to you for all you have done for us. Please, Father, let us not be distracted with matters of opinion, matters of disagreement. Lord, let us not be distracted, but especially on a day like today, let us be united in praise for all that you have done. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. What I want to do is we're going to take this passage in a little different order. Number one, I want you to do this. Number one, keep your conscience clear. And we're going to start in verse 22 of chapter 14. So this is from this 22 and 23. Keep your conscience clear. I think it's interesting what he says. We take it to heart. He's talking about eating and not eating something that could make someone else stumble into sin. And there are those that don't have a problem with the eating. And he says to them in verse 22, the faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. And I'll come back to that. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. In other words, if you can eat this meat and you know it's not wrong, then you're blessed because you're not going against your conscience. Always keep your conscience clear. If you have a doubt that something may not be right, he's saying, don't do it. And you go, well, yeah, but my friend does it, and it must be okay. They're a solid Christian person. I don't know. I just don't think I can do that. He says, do not violate your conscience. And what's amazing to me is you would think Paul would say, hey, weaker Christians, you got to get this through your head. The meat isn't wrong. He could say that, but he doesn't say that. Now, I will say this as we talk about the weaker brother or sister. It sounds like that's not the best place to be in. Paul himself says, I'm strong in these convictions, and what you're doing is right. The eating is fine. The days, not observing days, that's okay. He agrees with them about their position. What he doesn't agree with is how they're treating the weaker brother who don't have that same confidence in their faith to do it. But I think there's this implied challenge to the weaker Christian: get stronger. Come to see what grace has done for you, what Christ has freed you from. Come to see that. But he doesn't chasten them for being weak. He's trying to protect them from the strong who are not being careful. Number one, keep your conscience clear. Look at verse 23, because this is a biggie. This is a big verse. Verse 23. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Now, when I studied this, we have to keep it in the context of verse 22, because who in verse 22 is passing judgment? If you look at it, verse 22, who's passing judgment? It's the person who is going against their conscience. He says, blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself. That's your conscience. Your conscience will tell you, hey, Jeff, that's not right. You shouldn't do that. That's, you're passing judgment on yourself. I say we have to be careful about this, because Romans 8:1 says there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation from God, by the way, whether you eat the meat or you don't eat the meat. There's no condemnation from God because you're in Christ. The condemnation is in your own soul, your own conscience. You don't have peace, and God wants you as a Christian to have peace. He wants you to enjoy being a Christian. He wants you to make right choices with your heart so that you have peace with God, peace in your soul. So verse 23, whoever has doubts, you see another Christian doing something that God does not forbid in his word, but you don't think you should do it, he says, don't do it. Keep your conscience clear. Now, we should go back a little further into chapter 14 and say, don't judge your Christian brother because they do something you don't feel you can do. You're not to judge them, and they're not to despise you for being a strictie. Strictie? I listened to a sermon on this, and he said, don't be so critical of someone because they're a picky legalist. I was like, picky legalist, that's kind of a funny term. So don't be despising them. Don't be judging each other. This is matters of your own heart and conscience. Keep your conscience clear. Keep your conscience clear. Why does it matter? Why does your conscience matter? Because that's who you live with day and night. That's who you are inside. And you can try to deaden your conscience, but it's still there. And what's remarkable is Paul says, if you go against your conscience, that is sin. Now, again, why doesn't he just say, the meat's no problem, guys? He says, if you at this time you feel troubled about this, then don't do it. Isn't that interesting? Because this is, whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. So, here's the problem. If in your heart you think something's wrong and you decide to do it anyway, now you're acting like you're not satisfied in God. You're not resting in all the good that you know is right from God. You're not resting in that. You're going for something. It's maybe someone's approval. It's maybe a pleasure of the flesh. And you don't know if you should do it, but you just go, I'm going to do it anyway. You're stepping away from peace with God and confidence with God because in your own mind and heart, you think it's wrong, but you do it anyway. Paul says that's sin. That right there is sin. If you're not trusting God that what you're doing is good, then don't do it. Then it's sin. Keep your conscience clear. Keep your conscience clear. All right, let's see. Number two. You are your brother's keeper. That, remember that? Am I my brother's keeper? Cain says to God. And you know what God said? Yes. You are. Don't try to cop out. You are your brother's keeper. Verse 20. For the sake of food. For the sake of... And by the way, he's going to say, it's just when you're with that other brother that you're causing them to stumble. For the sake of food. I mean, it stands out in emphasis in that verse. For the sake of food, do not destroy, that is, tear down the work of God. For the sake of food. Verse 20, it harkens back to verse 19, where he talks about pursuing things that make for peace and mutual upbuilding. That's a building term. Upbuilding. Edifying. In verse 20 is a contrast to that. The contrast word is tear down. He says, for the sake of food, do not tear down the work of God. That work of God, I think, is in the weaker brother. God's working in them. He saved them. They're not strong yet. They need to be. They're not strong yet. So don't tear down the work that God is doing in that person and ultimately in the church. He says, everything indeed is clean. He agrees with them. The meat is okay. Everything is clean, but what is bad, what is wrong, is for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. So it's not the food that's wrong. It's the problem is you don't care about your brother's conscience and you're leading him to go against his convictions. Let's clarify something. Note here that the stumbling is stumbling into sin. We're not talking about something that causes someone irritation. Okay? We got to make this clear here. Something you do that just irritates someone, that's not what we're talking about. I have an example. There are some things that you do that I might not like. All right? It's not wrong. I just don't like it. For example, your rap music, your whiny music. So much whining in music today. I don't really care for ultra twangy music, gospel twangy, real super twangy gospel music. I don't think it's wrong. It's not my taste. So if you give me a ride somewhere and I get in your car and you put on, you know, boom, bicka boom, bicka boom, bicka boom, bicka boom, you know, and it's just, I don't like it. It's just not my style. It's not my favorite. But if you listen to twangy music in your car, it's not going to make me go against my conscience, go to Walmart and buy a Ricky Skaggs CD. You don't know who Ricky Skaggs is. It's bluegrass. It's twangy. It's I'm not going to go buy that music because you listen to it and make me listen to it in your car. Okay, now, so listen. That music might irritate me, but I can't tell you, hey, that's offensive to me. That's causing me to stumble. It's not causing me to stumble. No, I just don't like it. So turn it off. Okay, no, see that? See, now, when I start telling you what to do, that's where we get into legalism, which makes us uncomfortable, because now I'm telling you what to do. Don't want to do that. But do you understand the difference? Now, let's say this, though. Let's say I used to listen to bad music, rap, bad music. You know what bad music is, right? Bad lyrics, bad words, talking about doing improper things, horrible things. I used to listen to that, but I want to follow Christ. I want to be holy in my life. And I ride with you in the car, and you turn that music on, which is, to me, I should be strong. I should be like, you know what, that's okay. I'm just not going to pay attention to it. But it could lead me to stumble into sin because it may cause me to go back into music that I really feel is wrong. I don't know if that's a perfect example. I hesitate giving too many examples because there's not really you have to work this out in your heart. You have to work out in your heart that you will be sensitive to another Christian who is struggling with conscience matters, that you just decide, I love you, and I'm just not going to push this on you. In fact, Paul says, if we keep reading, verse 21, it is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. Not irritate your brother. Not, well, they just don't like it. Causes them to go into sin. Okay? I feel like I should say this. I don't think the Bible version issue is on the table here. Now, I know there are strong opinions about Bible versions. I personally was very strongly convinced that the King James Version was the only version that we should ever use. But I don't think that's the same here, because I don't have a command in Scripture that says that, King James Version, as much as I love it, and as accurate as it is throughout, again and again, it is wonderfully accurate. But I don't think that's on the table to say, if you think you should only follow the King James Version and your Christian brother reads from another version, that's going to cause them to stumble. I don't think that's going to cause them to stumble. They might not like it or agree, but it's not going to cause them to sin. Do you see the difference? It's not going to lead them into sin the way, listen, let's say someone used to be an alcoholic, and you have them over, and you offer them a light beer with pizza, and they say, and they have one drink of light beer, and they could be right back they could be steeped in their alcoholism, because you don't have a problem with drunkenness, you don't have a problem with that, but you've caused someone to stumble into drunkenness, which is a sin. Do not be drunk with wine, Ephesians 5:18. Do not be drunk with wine. You go, well, I just have a little bit, it doesn't make me drunk. But this person cannot do that. They'll crash and burn. So he says in verse 21, it is good not to eat meat or drink wine or, all-inclusive here, do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Again, it's not the meat's okay. When that Christian brother is not with you, enjoy the meat. It's okay. But when you are with them and you know that they're having a hard time in their conscience, do not cause them to stumble. All inclusive. Paul picks up the shotgun, says everything, anything that causes your brother to stumble, go against his conscience and into sin. I think we need to notice it's your brother. I mean, that's family. It's your family. Do you love them? Will you wait? will you hold off on your freedom in the presence of that Christian until they do grow, until they're not weak? I don't think weak is the place to be. I don't think Paul wants us to be weak. I think he wants us to grow in our knowledge of grace, in our knowledge of the Scriptures, to say, I see it now. I don't see it because you argued me or debated me, but just you loved me. Oh, you'll win people by loving them, and they'll see that they can trust you. They'll see that you're not just some careless person. They'll see, no, that there's something to this. Verse 15 of chapter 14, do not destroy with your food for him for whom Christ died. As strong Christians, we should be far more concerned about building others up, doing what is best for them, and determined to never do something that would lead them into harm. Go to chapter 15, because this is where it really gets, I think it's going to really help us. He's talking to the strong in faith. He says in verse 1, we, Paul himself, we who are strong have a duty, an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Wow, Paul, but it's just me. He goes, I know. But they're struggling with it, and so hold it up with them. Bear that with them. He says, we're not going to argue about it. That's chapter 14, verse 1. We're not going to argue about it. We're just going to let it go for right now. And we're the ones who are confident in God, and we're going to help you bear this up. He says, and not to please ourselves. Because that's what we're all inclined to do. I think the weak person also is inclined to please themselves, which is not good. You need to be looking to the person that is different from you and see how you can strengthen and encourage them, even if that means being patient with them. Verse 2, let each of us please his neighbor for his good. That's building them up. Building them up. He's got in mind here chapter 13, 9 and 10. That all the commandments are summed up in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor. So he gets to 15 too. Let us please his neighbor. You're first. I'm going to put you first. I want you to be built up, not discouraged. Listen, just set aside that issue, because look at verse 3. For Christ did not please himself. He's Lord of all. He's the strongest of all. He's the strongest ever. He did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insulted you, God, fell on me. The reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. He didn't come to please himself. He came to serve others. They lied about him. They put him to death. And Christ and the Scriptures point the way. Verses 3 and 4. Christ and the Scriptures point the way. Christ is our example. Not fight for his rights. He laid those down to love and to save those who were his enemies. Verse 4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction. That's the Bible. That's the Old Testament. It doesn't say you have to follow the Old Testament laws. He's already said in Romans chapter 6, you're free from the law. But he says those laws, there's instruction there. There's some guidelines, there's some principles that we can learn. And the quote that he gives there in verse 3 is from the Old Testament. The reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we may have hope. Endurance that God gives. What are we talking about? We're talking about people that don't always agree. Well, how can we possibly get along? Because God can give you that strength and encouragement and endurance that you've got it together. That this issue, this eating the meat or not eating the meat, that's really not what's the most important thing. Through endurance, through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And then the rest of this, 5-7. This is our purpose. This is what we've got to get to. This is, I think, where Paul is headed from the time he starts chapter 14 to right here. Is there's these differences. You feel this is okay. You feel this is not okay. Whatever it is. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you, give you, to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together, oh, I love that, that together, wait, Jews, Gentiles, men, women, people from strict backgrounds, people from unsaved backgrounds, people from different economic backgrounds and cultural backgrounds. Guess what? It was all in Rome, all in the Church of Rome. You had people who owned slaves and people who were slaves back at that time. They're all together. They've got all different backgrounds and issues and trouble. And he says, may God grant you the endurance that in verse 6, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. One voice. Come together. Have you ever heard the expression, let's agree to disagree? Yeah. Why would we do that? Why would we agree to disagree? Because it's not about meat. It's not about the color of the carpet. It's not about instruments and that. It's about one voice glorifying God together. In harmony, he says in verse 5, that you would live in harmony. How can we have that? How can we, as all different people from all different backgrounds with different convictions, how can we have harmony? God has to give it to us. And when we come together on Wednesday night, we pray for that. We pray for harmony. We pray for unity. When I meet with the deacons, we pray for unity. We feel like we're blessed with that. And we want more. We don't want this to be the best time of Indian River Baptist Church. We want the best to be in the future. We're still going towards the best days. I don't want to look back and go, boy, I wish those were the good old days. No. I want the good new days to come. How will that happen? God has to give it to us. Because I'm a sinner. You know what? Sometimes I'm strong in the faith. Sometimes I'm weak. Sometimes my conscience is strong. Sometimes I'm easily offended. I'm back and forth. Are you? So how can we come together and say, I love you. I love you. Can we glorify God together? And in your own life, because I think that's where this has to turn to, has to go to your own life. Is this your purpose? Your one purpose, to be united with other brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you united together so that with one voice you can glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. I think it's the big picture. For the glory of God, everything we do. Will this glorify God? It's not going to glorify God if we're arguing about it. Can we love one another? Can we yield to each other? Because we're here to glorify Him. That's our one purpose, to be united in praise. Would you stand with me? We'll pray together. Oh, Father, would you help us? Help us as a church, help us as individuals, that we would, as verse 1 says, I pray we would be all become strong, that minor things would stay minor and not become major, that we would have endurance with one another, patience with one another. I pray that those who are strong would see their duty to build up those that are weak, to be patient and loving. It's so exciting to see people grow. Lord, we pray for more and more. Help us not to please ourselves, but to love one another fervently, sacrificially, please one another. Let us set aside any hindrance that we might have so that we may, with one voice, with beautiful harmony, Lord, the harmony like we heard during the special music, may we have that kind of harmony in our life, in our lives together, that we may with one voice glorify you. I ask these things in Jesus' name, amen.